This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Well, what can I say? In this world of pop culture and streaming, a lot, a hell of a lot, can happen in a week. Since I last saw you, heard you, whatever I did to you, Traitors has blown people's minds with possibly one of the best Scooby-Doo reveals I've ever seen on TV in many, many a year. Oh my gods. And also, I've never been more angry at the post office. I mean, shouting at the sky. Now, I don't mean on post. I am obviously talking about ITV's most excellent Mr. Bates versus the post office. What a roller coaster that was. What a roller coaster week it's been. Does that mean we get to calm down this week and chill mid-January or early mid-January? Nope, not a chance, because the hits keep on coming. And this week is no exception, with some absolutely cracking content dropping all over the gaff. So, shall we begin?
Maya. I see everything that you are. I always have. Don't be afraid.
In Echo on Disney Plus, Alacra Cox returns as Maya Lopez, who was last seen as the villain, or anti-hero, I suppose, in Hawkeye. The new series, which has 5 episodes, which are all now up, sees Maya returning to her hometown in Oklahoma, where she must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace the meaning of family and community. This series comes in under Marvel's new Spotlight banner, which is an indication that it's a standalone series and doesn't need any extensive homework or indeed have an effect on the bigger Marvel Cinematic Universe. So everybody can breathe. Just chill out and watch us. Right, I've watched all 5 episodes and I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed it. Possibly one of the better Marvel TV shows out there, which wouldn't be hard. This one is pretty dark. Has some violence, yet still has a bit of heart, just a little bit. It's also great to have a load of the Reservation Dogs cast popping up all over the place, so that may have affected my biased opinion, very biased. One word of warning though, one very important word of warning: if you watch the trailer and think you are getting that trailer, a non-stop action-packed thriller featuring Daredevil and Kingpin, you need to calm down. You need to step back. Everybody needs to relax. Yes, Marvel did a classic switcheroo. That is not what you're getting. This is more of a proper origin story for Echo and has a lot of themes based around, as I said, family, community, loss, and tradition. It's definitely more low-key than I expected, but ultimately was possibly a necessary teaser and world-building exercise for the forthcoming Daredevil Reborn series, which lands in 2025. Personally, I was very taken by this journey. I thought Alacra Cox was absolutely fantastic in the lead role. And yeah, I'm all in. The acting across the board, in fact, was quite superb. And I just choose to ignore some of the woo-woo stuff. You know, there's always a bit of woo-woo going to get involved. And it kind of made no sense and was never explained fully. But anyway, I give it a thumbs up. I enjoyed it. Some people will feel they were robbed of Daredevil and Kingpin, but this is not a Daredevil and Kingpin show. So that's Marvel's Echo, all 5 episodes, which are now up on Disney Plus. Also landing this week, Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon finally lands free to stream on Apple TV Plus. This harrowing and shocking true story of the murders of several members of the Osage Nation during the 1920s, after oil was discovered on their land, it's here for you all to enjoy and stress out over. As you all know by now, this one stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Lily Gladstone and Jesse Plemons. At 3 hours and 26 minutes, I know, who has such time? Maybe with it now on your telly box, you can treat it as a TV show and watch it by the hour or something like that. And, you know, just don't tell Martin because he'll get us upset about that. But this is a gripping tale of greed, expertly told by Scorsese, and was one of my top movies of 2023. So that's Killers of the Flower Moon, which is now on Apple TV+.
What happened in the last case you worked with Navarro?
That was good. Until it wasn't. Never too late. There was nothing we could do.
I'm working on this new case.
A missing scientist.
Found on the edge of the villages. Frozen solid.
True Detective Night Country lands on HBO, Sky Atlantic and Now TV on Monday, January 15th. The fourth season of HBO's anthology, which last aired, believe it or not, in 2019, comes from writer-director Issa Lopez, who did Tigers Are Not Afraid, rather than the usual series creator Nick Pizzolatto. This one is an Alaskan set mystery, yes. Focus on the words, David. Focus on the words. And finds detectives played by Jodie Foster and Kaylee Reese investigating the sudden disappearance of 8 scientists working at an Arctic research facility. Already receiving exceptional early reviews and buzz, this is prestige TV proper returning to our screens. The less you know about it, the better. Just soak it up and enjoy the ride. I cannot wait for this one. The series also stars Fiona Shaw, Finn Bennett, Christopher Eccleston, John Hawkes and Isabella Starr LeBlanc in this 6-episode season. So that's True Detective Night Country, season 4 that is, which airs on HBO on Sunday the 14th and on Sky Atlantic and Now TV from Monday the 15th.
Daniel Egerton.
June Lenker, thanks for seeing me. I'm investigating a phone call. Police?
How can I help?
They made an allegation. It was an old case that you'd worked.
A long time ago, my boyfriend, he stabbed her.
You are aware that he confessed.
What if he's innocent?
That case was investigated fairly.
What is he hiding?
Let it go.
Criminal Record is Apple TV's latest British original series, which finds Peter Capaldi and Cush Jumbo playing detectives battling for control of a high-stakes murder investigation in London. Detective Sergeant June Lenker, played by Jumbo, is alerted to a 999 call of someone claiming their abuse partner is behind an old murder, which, in fact, had been closed by Detective Chief Inspector Daniel Hegarty, played by Capaldi, and seems to possibly indicate that an innocent man was sent to prison for life by Capaldi. Sketchy. As the young officer looks into the case, let's just say the elder does not take too kindly to his legacy being threatened. This one looks like a bit of a cracker, and the first 2 episodes out of 8 are now streaming. That is Criminal Record, which is now on Apple TV+.
This job, I don't know if it's possible. But if there's a way to do it, we find it.
We need to intercept
$500 million. But we're not taking the gold.
We're taking the plane? The whole plane?
It's kind of hard to take half a plane.
Nice.
Welcome to the team.
They really love you.
I mean, what's not to love?
You are a thief, a con man, a professional liar.
Agree to disagree.
In the new movie Lift on Netflix, a master thief is wooed by his ex-girlfriend and the FBI to pull off an impossible heist with his international crew on a 777 passenger flight from London to Zurich. You know me by now. H is for heists. And well, give it to me. Give it to me now. I don't care about anything else. I'm in. I love me a heist movie. The more ridiculous, the better. So having one take place on a plane in mid-flight, shoot it into my veins. Oh, yeah. Sam Worthington, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Jean Reno, Billy Magnussen, Ursula Cabrera, and Vincent D'Onofrio also star. Beautiful, glorious, nonsense ahoy. And yes, F. Gary Gray, who gave us the absolutely mediocre Italian Job remake, is directing. So what's not to love? That is Lift, which is now on Netflix. Actually, do you know what I forgot? Kevin Hart. H is for heist. I get overwhelmed by heist movies. Kevin Hart is the lead role. He's the voice you're hearing. We love him. Airplane, robbery, Kevin Hart. Hell yes. Lift is now on Netflix.
Mr. Brackett, can you tell us what happened that night at the hotel?
It was our anniversary, so we wanted to go out.
I won't be me, you won't be you.
Just two strangers meeting in a bar.
Tomorrow night.
I'm Jack.
Alice.
Do you and your wife role play often?
What exactly is this about?
Do you know this man?
No.
Jack, Bob, Bob, Jack.
Pleasure. He just talked for 5 minutes to all the victims of her charms, and then he left.
In role play on Prime Video, Emma has a wonderful husband and two kids in the suburbs of New Jersey. However, an attempt to spice things up in the bedroom backfires on the couple when, let's just say, her secret life as an assassin is exposed. Oh, Lord. Starring the always fab Kaylee Cuoco and David Ayelowo, they'll surely make up for what will most likely be a predictable, been there, done that plotline of suburb pick-a-fence families getting dragged into all the action, which seems to be all the rage at the moment, with Mark Wahlberg's The Family Plan and Donald Glover and Maya Erskine's upcoming Mr. and Mrs. Smith series. But I'm going to say, feck it. Feck it. It's January. Get the ironing board out. And here you go. Perfection. Iron away while watching some more beautiful nonsense. Connie Nelson and Bill Nighy also star. What's not to love? Bit of a action comedy. That's Role Play, which is now on Prime Video.
This is a trust. It promises each of you an equal share of $250,000. Throughout your time here, you'll each make a choice. Share the money equally, or vote people out to keep more for yourself.
All it takes is one vote to send somebody out this house.
I'm listening.
You're already winners, but the question is, will you keep it that way?
More money, more money.
In the new reality competition on Netflix, The Trust, A Game of Greed, 11 strangers receive $250,000 to allocate amongst themselves. They can either take their fair share or vote each other out to keep more money for themselves. Oh, dropping in the middle of a trader season here may not have been the smartest move by Netflix. But then again, maybe folks want even more betrayal and backstabbing in their lives. Hosted by journalist and former CNN correspondent Brooke Baldwin, while I'm still somewhat confused as to how this will play out, as far as I can figure out, contestants will be given the opportunity to anonymously vote each other out, increasing their individual share, and only one vote is needed to eliminate a contestant. I'm just going to have to watch at least the first episode to figure out. I'm still confused. Dropped in 3 episode drops over the next 3 weeks. There'll be cliffhangers all over the gaff. And yes, a group of US contestants that are bound to drive you absolutely bleeding mad and have you shouting at the screen, sure, what more do you want? Between this and Traitors, who knows if we will even make it out of Paranoid January, but I'm going to commit to the cause. Oh, and the contestants also will seemingly take part in a series of tests designed to test each player's loyalty. Absolutely sketchy, crazy stuff. Let's see what happens. That's The Trust, A Game of Greed, which is now on Netflix. Also, another week, another Netflix comedy special arrives in the form of Pete Davidson's Turbo Fonzarelli. This one sees the comedian and actor discuss things like his childhood crush on Leonardo DiCaprio to other things like the disturbing gift he got from his stalker. Love him or hate him, this should be a massive smash hit for Netflix. Hopefully he'll mention his future-proofing DVD collection at some point. That's Pete Davison Turbo Fonzarelli comedy special, which is now on Netflix. Detective Frost on Netflix is a new Polish crime drama which sees a detective's maverick approach to investigating get him suspended. So he then teams up with a journalist to solve a series of brutal murders outside the law. Receiving very favourable reviews, some comparing it to some of the Scandi series that people have obsessed with over the years. If dark and moody non-English crime series is your vibe, then Detective Frost from Poland, now on Netflix, should defo be your jam. For those who love their doctors and nurses but at the flying variety, SkyMed returns for a second season on Paramount Plus. The triumphs, heartbreaks and tribulations of budding nurses and pilots flying air ambulances in remote northern Canada is what you're getting here. It does exactly what it says in the tin. Oh, and yes, they are all young, hot and swole medics, just in case the plot lines aren't good enough for you. So that's SkyMed. Season 2, now on Paramount Plus. Sonic Prime Season 3 lands on Netflix as the world's fastest blue hedgehog continues his adventure across the multiverse. That's all you need to know about this returning animated series. So that's Sonic Prime Season 3 on Netflix. And Bluey, for those of you who have been stuck in a never-ending cycle of watch, repeat, rinse, watch, rinse, repeat, with everyone's favourite family of Aussie dogs, well, rejoice, because 10 shiny new episodes of Bluey have now dropped on Disney Plus. Watch, repeat, rinse. So that is Bluey Season 3, 10 new episodes, which are now on Disney Plus. And speaking of Australian families, I know last week you all thought I was a bit mad. I talked about the Aussie family crime drama, Boy Swallows Universe. And then, of course, Netflix went and moved the date to January 11th. Well, it's now out there for all to see and should defo be worth a know. So that's Boy Swallows Universe, which is now definitely on Netflix. And last of all on streaming this week, yes, we've kept the ace in the pack till the end. This one will be holding court for your screen time. Just keep the TV turned down. You don't want to cause a racket.
Welcome to 2023.
Tennis has a new crop of players, fresh and ready and hungry.
Carlos.
Hey, how are you?
We want to destroy each other.
Best point of the match.
Tennis is a brutal sport.
Can't be friends, man. It's done.
You have to become accustomed to being a celebrity.
He's so cute.
And last year changed everything. Literally overnight, Francis is a celebrity.
It's like, oh my God, Francis Tiafoe, big bro.
Tennis can change so fast.
One day you could be playing center court at Wimbledon. The next day, you have no career anymore.
Breakpoint returns to Netflix for its second season in this behind-the-scenes look at the lives of top tennis players as they travel across the globe for all four Grand Slams and the ATP and WTA tours. Season 1 was a huge success for both Netflix and the sport of tennis. This season features some new faces like Carlos Alcaraz and Coco Gauff, along with some returning heroes from the first season. What is not to love? Like F1 Drive to Survive, this has been a godsend for the sport of tennis, as we get sucked in to care and actually give a crap about a sport we barely watch, possibly once a year. Also, is it just me, or are we all now just waiting for Netflix to announce that behind-the-scenes darts docuseries? You know it's going to happen. You know it. Anyways, until then, the first 6 episodes of Breakpoint Season 2 are now on Netflix. Oh, wait. There's one more sporting show. Sporting? Is it sporting? I don't know. We must discuss. Ho, ho, ho.
The toughest game show on earth is back.
Welcome to Gladiators,
where everyday people take on our superhuman gladiators.
No points. I thought he was done.
In new events and classics, who is up to the challenge?
What on earth is an eliminator?
Are you ready?
Yes, yes, yes. Gladiators is set to air on BBC One from Saturday the 13th of January and is the second attempted revival of the earlier series of the same name. This 11-part show will be hosted by Bradley Walsh and his son Barney and includes a whole new shiny bunch of gladiators with names like, they roll off the tongue, Apollo, Athena, Bionic, Comet, Diamond, Dynamite, Electro, Fire, Fury, Giant, Legend, Nitro, Phantom, Saber, Steel, and Viper. Sorry, I couldn't refuse naming them all there. They're just so poetic. And yes, all the classic games are back, like The Eliminator, Duel, Hang Tough, and Powerball, along with some, newly invented games. Absolute trash of a Saturday night, fun for all the family. That is Gladiators on BBC One from Saturday the 13th of Jan. I keep forgetting sports ball stuff. Like, there's so much this weekend. When I say, for me, the super wildcard weekend in the American football is this weekend. So I'm going to shout it out, because somebody somewhere will be watching it, like me, for a bajillion hours. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, super wildcard NFL American football weekend. Roll on those playoffs. Because, as we all know, there can be only one. Only one. And there you go. That is your streaming for the week. Some humdingers. Humdingers in there to keep you occupied. However, if you do fancy braving the cold air outside and just a bit of change of scenery, sure, let's have a look at cinema and see what's hitting the local multiplex or small independent cinema near you.
This is Bella. Bella, this is Mr. McCandles.
Hello, Bella.
No! Oh, she's an experiment.
Good evening.
Her brain and her body are not quite synchronized. But she's progressing at an accelerated pace.
Poor Things is a... oh, Lord. It's a bizarro fantasy black comedy directed by Yorgos Lanthimos and stars Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe and Rami Youssef. Based on the 1992 novel by Alistair Gray, the plot focuses on Bella Baxter, a young woman living in Victorian-era London who, after being crudely resurrected, shall we say, by a scientist, runs away to embark on an odyssey of self-discovery and sexual liberation. I have no idea where to even begin on this one. As you would expect from Yorgos, who gave us the fantastic The Favourite and the batshit The Lobster, this one is a sight to behold. It's got beautiful and stunning set designs. It's a weird Frankenstein-adjacent feminist fantasy saga. It gave me strong Edward Scissorhands vibes. But then we gotta mention the almost softcore porn elements that seem to be shocking quite a lot of folks around the world. Edwina Sexy Hands has caught a lot of folks off guard with its quite explicit and quite comical, in some instances, sex scenes. But you know what? After Saltburn, people are ready for anything. Like, bring it on. This movie is what makes Emma Stone such a fascinating actor out of all the current bunch. With both this and her TV show The Curse, she yet again is proving that she is all in and willing to go the extra mile for her art. I found this movie also to be very, very funny. Mark Ruffalo adding brilliantly to the doofus factor of the whole thing, and Willem Dafoe playing the mad scientist, well, as Willem does, quite perfectly. But this is hands down Emma Stone's movie. She's wonderful throughout. She embraces the madness wholeheartedly, and obviously no surprise that she's in the running for the Best Actress race. This movie's win at the Golden Globes this week for director and for Stone herself will also raise its profile even more now, and yes, it can be considered a dark horse for some sneaky Oscars. And despite the US being seemingly split down the middle as to whether this movie is amazing or exploitative porn, I feel it will definitely be a hit with European audiences. Put simply, folks, if it's a beautiful, crazy, batshit story of love, hope and furious jumping, if that's what you're looking for, then Poor Things, yes, it's for you. And it's now in cinemas. Just do not let your parents catch you watching it. Oh, so much furious jumping. My God.
The Depression hit everyone hard. No jobs, no food. We were broke.
Looks like you still owe a balance on this semester.
So what's that about making some money?
Yeah, the rowing team. Your honor, you get a part-time job included, cheap place to live.
Eight-man crew is the most difficult team sport in the world. The average human body is just not meant for such things. Most of you will not be chosen.
Beautiful speech, coach.
The Boys in the Boat is a new movie directed by George Clooney. Set during the height of the Great Depression, members of the rowing team at the University of Washington get thrust into the spotlight as they compete against all the odds. As a working-class crew competing against bigger, wealthier and more established universities in their home country and have the chance to compete at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. Based on the non-fiction book by Daniel James Brown, this has Chariots of Water written all over it. However, unlike Chariots of Fire, this one is, you know, it's, while it has a classic feel to it, it is a bit twee, it's definitely schmaltzy, and it's also a sports movie about the power of friendship and teammates helping to overcome all the odds. And yes, just throw in a few Nazis at the end and all is good in the hood. Or bad, I suppose. Joel Edgerton and Callum Turner are the leads in this drama. And I'm not going to lie, like heist movies, you know I'm a sucker for underdog sports movies. So I fully embraced it throughout. Yes, it's predictable. Yes, it's got loads, as you would expect. Man, of my training montages. There's so many of them. And it's 2 hours long and possibly feels like 2.5. And hell, it even has some time for dodgy rowing and crowd shot CGI. Tut tut, George. Tut tut. Ultimately, it's a fine movie. But coming from MGM, this means it'll turn up on streaming and Prime Video in the not too distant future. So while I wouldn't urge you, I'm not urging you to rush out and see it at the cinema, when it does land for you to watch at home, it's a harmless, worthy watch of a Friday night on the couch. So, yeah, did the job. As again, sucker for sports movies. Get in there. The Boys in the Boat is now at cinemas.
Mrs. Parker and I were friends. She was like family. She was the only person who ever took care of me.
I just got a message saying that there's a problem with my computer.
Yes, ma'am, we got this.
Yesterday, she shot herself.
This is private property.
Do you know what they do here? Scamming the weakest in our society?
Buddy, I'm counting to three.
One, two, three. There, I did it for you. No, you
can't take it. No, you can't. All right, and finally for this week, the award for the most uninspired and confusing for fuck's sake, movie title goes to Jason Statham's The Beekeeper. Diamond geezers everywhere. Yes, I'll have you know that Australian Cockney is a thing. It's totally a thing. One man's brutal campaign for vengeance takes on national stakes after it's revealed he's a former operative of a powerful and clandestine organisation. So far, what's happening now? Okay, so David Ayers directs this one. Released the air cut, Suicide Squad. No, move on. It also stars Josh Hutcherson. It's got Jeremy Irons, and that's all I really got for you. It's a bee movie that's not actually about bees, and it's got Jason Statham, who actually is a beekeeper, and do with that what you will. Again, this one kind of sounds like a streaming movie to me, but it is January. It is Statham doing revenge. And sometimes it's good to get out of the house. So yes, let me spell it out for you. I shall be there because I'm buzzing for it. I'll get me cold. Anyway, that is the gloriously titled The Beekeeper, which is now in cinemas. And there you go. That is your cinema for the week. Yeah. Very intriguing. Very January release schedule there. Yeah, award movie and others. And yeah, so yeah, feck it. Sure, why not? Right, what else we got for you? What else are we going? Oh, yes. You know the way I like to dabble with a bit of music now and then? Well, I shall hopefully through the weeks and months ahead also be adding in another new slot. Going to bung it in there and throw out a recommendation or two for new books hitting the bookshelves in your local bookshop. So whether it's a kid's book, an adult book, or just some pop culture book that caught my eye upon release, I'll give it a holler here and there every week or most weeks. Maybe it's because Frankenstein's other monster poor things is out in the world, but this week I'm going to give a shout out to Padraig Kenny's Stitch, which is coming from Walker Books. In this one, Stitch and his friend Henry Oaf were brought to life by the genius Professor Hardacre, but when his wicked nephew takes over the laboratory, they soon discover that his sights are set on poor old Henry as his next experiment. And so it all kicks off as Stitch attempts to save his friend from a fate worse than even more experiments in the sketchy lab. I am a huge fan of Kenny's Monsters of Rookhaven and its sequel, The Shadows of Rookhaven. And it's great to see that while his new book, Stitch, is in no way linked to that world, his world building, as always, is a sight to behold. And this novel does keep Kenny in his gothic mood with this Frankenstein-inspired novel. Possibly not as accessible to adults as The Rookhavens, but then again, kids 9+, bail in. Go and love it. So that's Stitch by Padraig Kenny, which is now available at your local bookstore. I'm excited to read it. His launch is this week, and I just wanted you to know that it caught my eye, and what's not to love? Right, there's your books. Short, simple, sweet. Like myself. And finally this week, it'll be rude, very rude, not to have a quick look at three things that we noticed in pop culture this week. Do you know what? It's January, and Hollywood's gone mad. There's so much happening. I could have done seven things, but these are what I'm focusing on. So three things in pop culture. First up, according to the Hollywood Reporter, almost two decades since they unleashed a zombie epidemic upon the world with the horror classic 28 Days Later, Danny Boyle and Alex Garland, you know I love him, you know I love him, are reuniting for 28 years later. Oh my sweet lord. While this is obviously a sequel to both 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later, although please note that 28 Weeks Later, they were only executive producers and yeah, that's why it was kind of average. It is believed that this new venture is in fact a new trilogy that they are proposing. Word on the street is that they will be meeting the studios and streamers and potential buyers in the coming weeks to see who's up for it. Very, very exciting. And all around the time of Cillian Murphy's Oscar buzz, definitely won't harm their cause. And you know, it's probably time to go rewatch the first two again. So yes, Zombie Baby, give it to me 28 years later. Next up, we have a Pedro Pascal adjacent breaking news double bill, as it was revealed this week that Caitlin Dever from Unbelievable, Booksmart and Dopesick has been cast in the role of Abby for season 2 of The Last of Us. The first season obviously was a huge hit for HBO. Such a good show. Such a good show. My God. And despite some fans freaking out over this casting for fan favourite Abby, I've always been a big fan of Caitlin Dever. I think she's class. And I also think the creators of the hit show should be given a bit of leeway and trusted in their choice. So that's very exciting. And it was also revealed this week that finally, having been off our screens since 2019, Star Wars is finally heading back to the movie theatre in possibly 2025, who knows, 2026, with The Mandalorian and Grogu. This is a brand new movie which will extend the Mandalorian universe on the big screen, and I'm hoping that that title The Mandalorian and Grogu is only a draft title because it's pretty crap. It's pretty bland. However, what is not bland is that the director is none other than Jon Favreau. Woo-hoo! A man who rarely goes wrong. Is it time to believe again in a galaxy far, far away? Outside of the excellent Andor, Lucasfilm could definitely do the win. And this seems like, while a safe choice, the most obvious route to go. Surely, stop calling me Shirley, they can't mess this up. We'll see. Finally, and speaking of Andor and other galaxies even further away, nearer, that is a question for the science nerds. Is Star Trek or Star Wars, which is the furthest galaxy away? Anyway, the Hollywood trades are reporting that Toby Hames, who directed most of the Andor episodes, is set to direct a new feature film of Star Trek for Paramount. Another beautiful piece of synergy here is that he is also the same dude who directed Black Mirror's absolutely amazing Star Trek-inspired episode USS Callister, which had Jesse Plemons in the lead role. What an amazing episode. Oh my God, what a banger. That is up there with San Junipero as one of the best for me. This one will be set decades before the Chris Pine and J.J. Abrams 2019 Star Trek reboot. And little else is known, except for the fact that Seth Graham Smith, who authored Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and scripted Lego Batman movie, is down to write. So yeah, some quality stuff happening. There's too many other things to talk about. We'll just fill them in over the weeks ahead. And yeah, very exciting. So there you go. Second weekend. And still no Tumbleweed? Surely it's coming. Tumbleweed has to be coming. Where is all this content coming from? Because it's quality stuff happening out there. So I think we'll leave it at that. And yeah, this is Dara Callan. That's me. I'm on show for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello there. Hello there, post-credit traveller. Welcome yet again. Da-da-da-da-da. Yes. Here we are again, and it's, you know what, it's feeling like, I don't think it's soapbox time. That's the wrong way to describe. Is it? It's serious time. There'll be no white vans and VHS mans and embarrassing tales of family walls being jumped. Or college tales of woe. No, I think it's I think this week with 2024 slowly waking up and big decisions starting to be made across Hollywood and beyond, I've decided, yes, it's business time, because I'm going to take a quick look at the streaming wars, because 83 episodes in and the wars are still happening, but I feel deep down that 2024 is going to be a game changer with regards to where we are heading. Oh, the Hunger Games are coming, folks. I don't mean to a streamer near you. Well, actually, I do, but I don't mean the actual film. Anyway, move. Stop talking. Oi. First of all, quick, Peter and Jane, 60-second history of streaming. There's obviously a full pod back in the day. I can't even remember what number the episode was, but if you want a deep dive, that's back there. So, the quick history says that Netflix stepped into a fairly non-existent market and bought up all the top shows from top studios and became a hit in people's houses. They added their own hit shows like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, and, well, there was no ads. People couldn't believe it. There's no ads, and there never would be. So what was not to love? Then around the time of the pandemic, oh, remember that? Do you remember those days? The big studios started taking their shows back from Netflix and began unleashing their own content on their own streaming platforms, along with some of the tech giants. So, welcome to the world Prime Video, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Apple TV Plus, Peacock, which is Universal, and Paramount Plus. However, was this too little, too late? Had Netflix done a runner, and were they screwed? Well, Netflix was dominant in every way, but then had a bit of a blip in 2019 and 2020, and it was written in the stars. These newbies were about to catch up on Netflix, and the game of streaming wars was afoot. They went mad, greenlit absolutely everything, and here we are. It's 2024, a cold January, and boy oh boy, what a world we now live in. Netflix obviously has steered the ship back on course, avoiding that iceberg while leaving it firmly in the path of its rivals. Oh, sketchy, sketchy times ahead. Huge subscriber numbers and a newfound confidence hit Netflix, and so much so that they even released their viewing figures to the world, which some thought they would never would do. But with all other streamers hiding their viewing numbers, Netflix just waved theirs around like an A-plus in class, saying, look at me, look at me. They are simply the best in class and untouchable. Warner Brothers, Disney, and some of the other major studios are now back selling off their content to Netflix, and a show pops up on there and then suddenly becomes more popular than it's ever been, even though it's on that studio's platform. Oh, it's not a great look, lads. It's a bit embarrassing to go back on yourself and start selling your wares back, but that's where Netflix is at. I deliberately mentioned ads earlier because, yep, you knew it was coming. Because Netflix and Prime Video are now placing ads on their shows. And if you don't want ads on there, you're probably going to need to pay more money. So they kill the terrestrial TV model. And then they bring ads back. What a sneaky share of feckers. They're all just trying to make money, obviously. Outside of Netflix, I feel 2024 will be the year of struggle for those alternate platforms. As proven by the fact that Prime Video, a huge tech giant with little or no money worries, announced this week that there will be hundreds, if not thousands, of job losses coming at Amazon Studios, Prime Video, and Twitch, whom they also foolishly bought. Some TV series and movies will obviously not survive this cull either, and little word to Prime and Amazon, maybe spending nearly $1 billion to make a fairly dull and rubbish Lord of the Rings ripoff. Yeah, it kind of has a look of folly and hubris, and yeah, you could have saved that money and saved a few jobs. Churn is still, though, the great enemy for all streaming platforms as customers flip from month to month between them. Got no good content in February? Okay, I'll drop you and I'll choose someone else whom I can binge their content until you give me something worthy of coming back for. Also, when I'm talking about 2024 being a game changer, well, I just get the feeling that the sand is shifting for some of these streamers, and I can't help but predict that one of these, or even two, will disappear from our TVs in the next 12 to 18 months. Will Max and Paramount Plus become one? Or will Universal step in, acquire Warner, and combine Max with Peacock? Or will someone just simply disappear into the ether, off the grid? It's going to be an intriguing year, I tell you. And as always, we'll be here continuing to have a nose at who's winning and who's losing the streaming wars. Dun, dun, dun. And with that, I feel this song just captures that 2024, what is to come mood. Oh, ooh. Yes. Just remember, dance is the answer.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then
there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
You just, you can't keep a good man down. You can't. Episode 6 is the full version. It's not the Peter and Jane version. Well, actually, it probably still is the John and Mary version. It was a simpler time. It was a simpler time. Also, I would like to point out, do not get comfortable with these post-credit scenes. It just happens to be a run of two, because I keep remembering stuff after the stuff. So, this is not a new thing. This is just a coincidence. Post-credit travellers are not a thing, as far as I'm aware. But I would like to give a shout out to the random dude who, when I was walking down Stony Batter in the dark, shouted out, "Post-credit traveller!" I have no idea who you were, but it warms the cockles of my soul to know that there's a freak like you in Stony Batter. Anyway. I'm going to shut up now.